Chapter 6. The Makers of Fire. It happened because the cub was careless. Heavy with sleep, he ran down to the old tree and crossed the open grass to the water to drink. At the same moment, he saw and smelled them. 5 live beings who sat silently, looking at him. They did not move, and he did not move. He had never seen humans before, but instinct told him that this was the animal that ruled the wild. He was not looking just with his own eyes, but with the eyes of the wolf race, which had watched human campfires from the darkness for thousands of years. He knew that wolves feared and respected these creatures with 2 legs, and he was too afraid to move. If he had been full grown, he would have run away. One of the Indians walked over to him, and the cub went down on his belly. As the man reached down with his hand, the little cub bravely showed his fangs. "Look at its white fangs," laughed the man.
"Pick it up,"
said another of the men, laughing too. The cub waited for the hand to touch him, and then he fought, his teeth snapping at the hand. The next moment, the Indian hit him hard on the head, knocking him over. He yelped and stayed still. But the man was still angry, and he hit the cub hard again on the other side of the cub's head. The cub sat up and cried. The 4 sitting Indians laughed more loudly, and the man with the bitten hand began to laugh too. Then, the cub heard another sound, and the Indians heard it too. He howled once more and waited for his fierce and brave mother to arrive and save him. She bounded in among the trees, and the cub ran to meet her, happy to see the man animals move quickly back. Standing over her cub, the red wolf faced the men, a snarl in her throat.
"Kicha!" shouted one of the men in surprise.
"Kicha!"
he shouted again, but this time more sharply. The cub was amazed to see that his mother's power disappeared, and she crouched down, whining, until her belly was on the ground. The man came over and put his hand on her head, and she crouched even lower. Meanwhile, the other men surrounded her and stroked her.
"Her mother was a dog," the man was explaining, "but my brother kept his dogs out in the woods. Keech's father was a wolf."
"It's a year since she ran away, Gray Beaver," said another man.
"It was the time of famine," answered Gray Beaver. "There was no meat for the dogs."
"She has lived with the wolves," said a third man, "and now she has a wolf cub."
"Then he has a small bit of dog and a lot of wolf in him," said Gray Beaver. "His fangs are white, so I will call him White Fang. He will be my dog. Keecha was my brother's, and my brother is dead, so she and the cub are mine."
When Gray Beaver tied Keecha to a tree, the cub, who now had a name, lay next to her. One of the men came and played with White Fang, pushing him over onto his back and stroking him. White Fang felt helpless. If he needed to fight, what could he do with his legs in the air? How could he spring away? But he felt the man's power over him, and he only growled softly. The man did not mind and stroked White Fang's head, pushing his fingers behind White Fang's ears. White Fang was surprised by how much he enjoyed it. The sounds of many humans talking and dogs barking approached. The men were Mackenzie Indians, and the rest of their people were arriving. Some 40 men, women, and children came, carrying their camp. The dogs also had bags tied on their backs. As soon as the dogs discovered the newcomers, they ran toward them. White Fang snarled and snapped as the dogs bit his little body, and Kicha tried to fight for him. The men came over and hit the dogs with sticks until they ran off. White Fang saw that here the humans made the laws, and the dogs obeyed them. If he had known what gods were, he would have thought that men were gods. While White Fang was licking his cuts, his mind filled with questions. He had not dreamed that there were so many more creatures like him. And if they were similar to him, why was their first thought to crush him? And why was his mother tied to a tree? Until an hour ago, they had been free to walk, run, and lie down when they wanted. Now his mother could not do that, and neither could he, because he was not ready to leave her. The humans went along the valley, a child leading Kicha with a rope tied to a stick, and White Fang following close behind, until they reached the wide Mackenzie River. Here, canoes were hanging over the water, and lines of fish were drying in the sun. White Fang watched in amazement as animal skins were thrown over long, thin branches to make great teepees. Kicha remained tied to a stick pushed into the ground, so when White Fang wandered away from her, she could not follow him. One of the camp puppies approached White Fang. He was larger and older, and he did not seem friendly. In fact, he was cruel, and his name was Lip Lip. White Fang went toward the creature, hoping to play and make friends. But the stranger's walk became stiff, and he pulled his lips back from his teeth, so White Fang did the same. They went around each other in a circle, snarling for several minutes. Suddenly, Lip Lip sprang at White Fang, tore the cub's shoulder with his teeth, then sprang away again. It was the same shoulder that the lynx had bitten, and White Fang yelped loudly with surprise and pain. But then, the fighting instinct took over in the little cub, and he snapped back. Lip Lip had plenty of experience of puppy fights, and he bit the newcomer 5 or 6 times, until White Fang ran back to his mother in shame. Kicha licked White Fang and tried to persuade him to stay with her. But White Fang was too curious about this new life and wanted to explore. He found Gray Beaver, who was doing something with sticks and dry grass. Gray Beaver spoke to him in a friendly way, so White Fang came nearer. Suddenly, smoke began to rise from between the human's hands, and then a live thing appeared, jumping and turning, the color of the sun in the sky. The fire drew White Fang in the same way that the wall of light in the entrance to the cave had attracted him. As he crawled toward the growing fire, he heard Gray Beaver laugh. Then his nose and tongue touched the fire. He jumped back, crying and yelping. Kicha growled at the sound of her cub's pain, but she was tied up and could not come to him. Gray Beaver laughed loudly and told the whole camp, until everyone was laughing at the little cub. The pain from the burn was terrible. When White Fang tried to lick his nose with his tongue, it hurt even more, because his tongue was burned too. But worse than the pain was the shame of being laughed at. He ran to Kicha, the one creature in the world who was not laughing at him. Night came, and White Fang lay by his mother's side. He missed their quiet cave, and he did not want to live with these makers of fire.